listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start on Straight Out of Vegas in the NFL, of course, and the holdout and scenario that is going down in Oxnard with the Dallas Cowboys. No Ezekiel Elliott, the star running back, still holding out, reportedly in Cancun or Cabo or wherever he is in Mexico, as we discussed yesterday. But Jerry Jones, playing a little bit of hardball, had this to say in regards to the running back position.
You don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. When we are looking and putting Zeke's contract in place, we've got to realize that the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. And so you've got to do all of the things along with having Zeke that allow you to have other players so that you can win the Super Bowl.
So, RJ, what do you make of Jerry Jones' quote?
Well, Jonas, we're going to use your life as an L.A. Single man about town as an example. Is that a fair representation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm engaged, but, you know. Oh,
you are engaged?
Oh, yes, yes.
Engaged. When did that start?
A couple months back.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, how about
okay,
that?
So let's go back 6 months ago. Or we can even use the lucky young lady as an example. So have you ever been engaged before?
Yeah.
You've been engaged? Did
yes.
you get married?
No, no.
Okay. So you're 0 for 1 on the engagement.
Yeah, 0 for 1.
All right. So you're just, now, does she know about this?
Hopefully she forgot. I'm just trying to get back to 500.
That's really what I'm saying. Because, yeah. I mean, if she's figuring the engagement doesn't mean anything, that means you're going to
get it. Yeah, we got problems.
All right. But I'm assuming if you've only gotten engaged twice, 0 for 1, but twice, is you really feel it when you do it, right? It's not just some whim.
Yeah. All right.
Now, at a certain point in the relationship that you felt intently, it was your intention to not show her how much you cared, because that's the whole kind of song and dance in romance, at least at the beginning, is if you don't care, well, you don't care. But if you care, you try to act like you don't care because you think that's going to make her care more. Right?
Yeah. Son-
All right. This is what's going on here, obviously. Jerry Jones is trying to say, yeah, we want Zeke back, but we don't need him. We want him. We don't need him. Now, do they need him to win it? Yeah. Because let's be candid. They don't have a great chance. Fez, before there was any Zeke adjustment, what was Dallas's odds to win the Super Bowl?
20-1.
All right, so we're talking about a 1 in 5, a 5% chance, a 1 in 20 chance with Zeke. Without him, it's less. So this is one of the 5 most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL is Zeke. Who's the 5 on that list, Fez?
Yeah, so 2 running backs, Saquon Barkley, and of course, Zeke Elliott. 3 wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, that's the 5. And from the Vegas perspective, Steve Fezzik, only 2-time Super Contest champion, he says these are the 5 most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL. If you take a team that has a 5% chance to win the Super Bowl and take away certainly their second-best player, because you could say, well, Dak isn't, you know, if you rank quarterbacks, Dak's going to be somewhere in the teens, but he's still going to be worth more because quarterbacks are so valuable. So the second most valuable player on the Cowboys is Zeke. Their 5% chance to win it with him, without him, doesn't look good. So on one hand, Jerry wants to show him respect, but not seem desperate. Because to me, and Jonas, you can answer this, how isn't it more of a conversation that Jerry Jones has offered, this is the reporting, Zeke a contract that would make him the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL?
I don't know. And I think that the other portion of this that I find interesting is the fact that there's reportedly been no counteroffer from Zeke. So you would think if you were really in negotiations or if the offer was that great, why wouldn't they, if they didn't like it, come back with a counteroffer? And they've come back with nothing yet.
Yeah, it kind of makes that is actually a great point. Why does he just want the off season? Does he just want the time off?
That's the thing. But training camps aren't like they used to be. I talked to a former.
But it's not Cabo.
Yeah, well, agreed. We can all agree on that. But I think that players look at training camp in the old days as sort of a, man, I don't want to go through the grind. Michael Strahan didn't want to go through training camp towards the end of his career. In fact, his final season, he decided to come back after training camp was over. It's not like that anymore. So you're not going through the rigors of camp like it used to be.
Maybe it's a matter of figuring, you know, if push came to shove, I would sign this contract. Imagine someone saying, no, I'm so good, and my contract's not up for 2 years effectively, you're offering me as early as the league allows. I mean, think about it. In a weird way, the Cowboys got to feel jilted here, because you could make the following case, and correct me if I'm wrong. The earliest the Cowboys, by statute, by law, the NFL's rules, could offer him a contract, they did, right? And it's the biggest contract in the history of the NFL for a running back. So the earliest and the biggest. And he says, no, thank you. It's not good enough. I don't know if Daryl wants you to jump in, but you know, the player advocate here. But I'll tell you this. It also, I don't know if we got the music from yesterday, Rocky IV, but if we do, it will help. I think it reinforces the brilliance of my point yesterday. And I mean, I've just got to say it, is this Cancun, Cabo, whatever, what does that conjure in your mind, Jonas, when you hear that?
For me personally, or for Zeke?
For you? No, with him, with Zeke in Cabo.
I'm thinking Modelo's. I'm thinking Estrella Jalisco's, a bucket of beer, margaritas. I'm thinking the two Coronas inside the margarita that you suck back and you're time traveling 20 minutes later. I'm thinking the parties. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking about running on the beach.
Now, think about this. Hear this music. You're thinking about Rocky IV.
Okay.
You're thinking he's in Russia. Now, imagine if Zeke said, I'm out of camp. I'm someplace other. Right, which is effective, I think, for negotiation. But I'm actually lifting up like livestock on the end of like a wooden plank or something.
Yeah,
that would be much more powerful. Let's
agree. I agree. Yeah, it is. It's look, he's got his own tactics. He worked out. He was in really good shape when he was on his 6-game suspension in Mexico before. And he went back to the well this time. So I guess this is where he feels the most comfortable. That's just his thing.
Oh, yes. I'm sure if he wasn't in in Mexico, he would have really struggled coming into shape.
Also, sorry to interrupt, but don't you think that Jerry Jones comes off a little bit annoyed because he's really defended and had this guy's back multiple times every time there's been an issue off the field, and Zeke doesn't even report to camp. He takes off to Mexico. He's not even in the country, and they're trying to get a deal done or having conversations about it. Jerry Jones's tone comes off to me when he's talked about this over the past several days as annoyed at the situation.
I think you're exactly right, but I think that's half of it. I think half of it is, hey, we've done, and let's be candid, whatever you want to say about Jerry Jones, he is a player's owner.
100%.
For the most part. Yeah. Not saying he's perfect, but I think in general he has a good rep, especially after careers are over and the cowboy family mentality seems very strong for the organization, for the players. But I also think it's back to what we've talked about. And Fez, I'm going to ask you again, because if anything, I think this reinforces the point we made last week. The question is this. There's a proposition bet. If the Cowboys win one Super Bowl, one or more, but more than zero, one Super Bowl in the next 7 years, doesn't matter when they do it, you win $1 million. All right, so it's a free roll. Now think about it to all those across the country. Think about it. Okay. Would you rather them pay Zeke the most of any running back ever or trade him? Let's assume, because obviously there's a chance he could come back, play, be disgruntled, who knows what. But let's say the two choices are sign him or trade him. And the theory is you're trading him for some real value because he's got 2 years left on his deal. Fez, we've talked about this. Your thought would be for that seven-year horizon is?
Got to trade him, RJ. Got to look to the future.
Well, I mean, that's a trite comment. The theory is you can replace and correct me if I'm wrong, you can replace a running back, maybe not as good as him, but a very competent back, not that hard. He's about a point and a half better, as we said, than an average running back. Right? So what are you going to get back? How many draft choices? How many real players? I don't know. Now, I know they don't have that running back on the roster right now necessarily, but it's not that hard to get one.
In fact, RJ, it just happened. Alfred Morris, for all we know, was in Mexico a couple days ago. Well, he is now with the Cowboys. If you recall, Morris filled in for Zeke nicely 2 years ago when Zeke was suspended for 6 games, and he has joined the Cowboys.
Now, how old is Morris?
Bad news. He is 30, which is geriatric for a running back. He ran ineffectively for San Francisco last year.
I mean, let's be candid. If someone's not in camp, was he in anyone's camp? No, right?
So, no.
If someone's not in camp, that's a sign, all right? So I'm not in any way going to think that's the answer. What I think is it for PR's sake, hey, we're getting someone. But imagine if you trade them, that means you're getting a bunch of assets, probably not a running back. But come cut time, there might be a team that's loaded with running backs, and there's one they like a little bit better. But if the Cowboys came in and said, give us that one that's a little bit better, you keep the other guy instead of cutting them, and all of a sudden it might cost them a fifth or sixth round pick, which is going to be not the total amount they get from the Zeke trade. So to me, I think that they could get they could get a good bid in a trade. They could use some of those assets to get a above average running back. Will it hurt them this year? Yes. They will not be as good without Zeke this year. But over a seven-year horizon, not being locked into that contract when he's 28, 29, 30 will help them. And it will not hurt them so much this year because running backs are so replaceable.
And I also think that when it comes to this situation and them trying to find a trade suitor, who in the NFL is actually going to make this trade? They've got 2 years control. So unless Zeke agrees to play on the 2 years left on his deal, why would any team in the NFL? They're just going to run into the same issues that Dallas has had with Zeke not wanting to play under the current contract.
So again, I tell you, Jonas, you're hitting home runs here. Let's think about what you said to wrap up the topic is it's almost analogous to the NBA. You don't get it so much in NFL. It's not even you're only trading for the 2 years because really effectively the team that gets him probably would only want him that 2 years plus maybe a tag year, but they're not going to want him sign him to that long-term deal any more than anyone else, most likely, right?
Yeah.
And to me, the question is, will he play out those 2 years? I get if he got tagged, he might say, oh, okay, I'm not going to do a Le'Veon Bell. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Le'Veon Bell even played through his fourth year.
Yeah, he played on a franchise the first year, yes.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is he played his 4 years. Oh, because, wait, Le'Veon was not a first-round pick.
Second-round pick.
Yeah, so every year that wasn't a tag, he played.
Yes.
So now we're in uncharted territory, and I don't want to act like I said I told you so, but I'll let you say it, is when do you let the players seemingly act like contracts don't matter, they're going to keep taking. And I'm not saying that running backs aren't a special situation. I think they are. We've talked about it. But in general, if you trade Zeke, the question becomes not will he want to re-sign, but will he actually honor his contract? And quite frankly, we don't know.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And I got to say, one of the best segments I've heard on radio from Jonas last segment. I mean, this is the guy, he's like the utility man of Fox Sports Radio. Gottlieb's out, get Jonas in there. Oh, Clay Travis, get Jonas in there. And we've got him every day. I mean, how lucky is Straight Out of Vegas? We're here each weekday, and we appreciate you joining us right now on the Strip. 107 degrees. The neon is chugging. Now, let me ask a question to Daryl, because I get a lot of feedback on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. Most of it's good. Most of it about Daryl is good. That show seems to be smoother. Maybe RJ doesn't, his stories are 3 minutes instead of 5 minutes. He must be controlling, you know, all kind of stuff. But Daryl, you do get one negative. You get,
let's go for it.
Man, that guy seems to side with the players no matter what. So
that's
here's
true.
The question. Zeke seems to be egregious. Even Colin, who's a player guy, seems to be against him here. You defend. I want Daryl's brand, producer Daryl, and Zeke's to be tied at the hip. Go.
You know, I cannot tie myself to the hip of Zeke right now. I do not understand what he's doing right now. I understand he's fighting for his rights, but I don't agree with going to Mexico. I can't even defend this one.
Oh, so actually the thing you don't like isn't the holdout. It's that he's not in Russia.
Yes. Going on out there and train and play the go-for-it music. I'm with that.
I mean, don't you agree if he was in Russia, the whole narrative would be different?
Yeah, he could grow the beard and have the big coat and everything.
All right, Jonas. See, now we know that there's a limit with Daryl defending players.
See, and here's the problem. If Zeke would have just said, I'm going to Mexico City to train at altitude, just like fighters do in
right.
Big Bear, that's one thing. But he already let the cat out of the bag and told everybody he's in Cabo. He blew his cover.
Well, you can't listen. These days, you don't think there'd be a... Imagine that story.
Right.
He said he was training at altitude and he's on the beach.
All right, guys. From one unhappy running back with his contract to another, we go to Melvin Gordon, the L.A. Chargers. Almost said San Diego there. L.A. Chargers star running back who has been holding out for a new contract. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, he says Gordon has considered all options, including sitting out until mid-season.
Okay, now let's make sure when we talk about this stuff, we define the parameters. So first-round draft choices, 4 years, team option in the fifth. Non-first-round choices, 4 years, no team option. So whoever has the deepest knowledge on this, what is Melvin Gordon's situation?
He was in the same draft as Todd Gurley. He's going into what would be his fifth-year option picked up by the team.
Okay, so if he wasn't a first-round pick, he would have been a free agent.
Yeah.
But... first rounders, let's not forget, they make a lot of extra money because they're first rounders. And that fifth year is not cheap, right?
The fifth year, I believe it's just under $6 million.
Yeah. And again, is his market price better than that? Yeah. Is his does he deserve longer or on the open market? Would he get longer than 1 year? Yeah. But that's not nothing. Let's start there. Fez, next question. Now we know the contract situation exactly. How do we rate Gordon? And again, anytime the Vegas perspective ranks and rates a player, it's relative to how valuable he is to that specific team.
And Melvin Gordon is only worth half a point to the point spread. Not that much, RJ, despite being a really, really good back.
And why is that?
Because the Chargers are stacked at running back position, specifically his backup, Gordon's backup, Austin Eckler. He's a guy that got almost 1,000 combined yards rushing and receiving just last year. Eckler can handle the load.
Well, listen, here's the analogy. And the analogy is that, hey, I haven't taken much vacation yet. It's getting to be the end of the I guess, contract year. I'll probably take a week at some point. And on Monday of that week, there's going to be some in the audience that says, you know something? This show's just as good without RJ. Now, it's going to be a minority. It will probably be the less intelligent group. But there's going to be that group. Come Tuesday, come Wednesday, come on Thursday, everyone's like, when's RJ get back? That's my prediction. Same thing with running backs. Let's bring it full circle. Is with running backs, you can plug them in a game or two. You can plug them in 15 plays here or there. I think the number of running backs that can be effective in spot situations is five times as many that can be the feature back. You really believe that the Chargers have two feature backs. Make that case. You saying it makes me think it could be true. Now convince me.
Well, if you look at the absolute numbers, Eckler
okay,
was...
Okay, so are you going to start saying anything at any point?
Yeah, Gordon's numbers were only slightly superior to Eckler's. They were almost comparable.
Gordon, okay, what numbers are we talking about?
Gordon, 5.1 yards per rush. Eckler, actually better, 5.2.
And how many rushes each?
Yeah, Gordon had 900 rush yards, Eckler 550 rush yards. So Gordon about 60% of the rushes versus 40% for Eckler.
Okay, so my thought is for a second back, those are great numbers. I agree. It makes me think Gordon's even less valuable because it seems like having the load. So do the math on that. So if you divide by, I don't know if it's regular season only, but just give me a broad number. How many carries per game did Gordon average?
Oh, I don't have it, RJ.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll get that because to me it strikes me that maybe part of this story is the idea that it's almost like a two-headed monster, but it's one and a half heads. But it makes you feel like that half head in this analogy could emerge and be better than we think. Or maybe it means that they're putting Gordon in only in his best spots, down in distance, he's rested, and he's really not a feature back. Not that he's not a really good back, but does that workload warrant? You know, and again, let's make this tomorrow. We'll do a little study on this. Is let's compare the best running backs. How many carries do they have? Because we know each carry beyond 20 in a game gets tougher and tougher. Each carry that you're not in your ideal situation gets tougher and tougher. I mean, think about the various... I mean, going back to who was the Giants guy in the 80s? I'm having a mental block, but the scat back. But going way back there, there's been these backs that's been featured in certain situations, third and eight or longer, that are amazingly productive, but they would not be able to be the feature back. We all agree with that.
Was it Dave Meggett?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
I got to get a life. That's unbelievable. How do I know?
See,
that?
Most, I bet half the audience knew that one. So the voice of the fan comes through. But I mean, the Saints have had him a bunch over the years. And I mean, Fez, that's one of the questions about the Saints running back, right? It was a two-headed monster. Let's talk about that a second.
Yeah, so Ingram goes ahead and leaves for Baltimore. And so now the concern is, what's going to happen now that it's a one-headed monster for New Orleans? And, you know, frankly, Kamara's awesome, but is he going to be able to handle the load of having additional carries and not just making all those receptions? By the way, Melvin Gordon, under 200 carries last year. That's really low for a feature back.
Which in a weird way, if you had him locked up for 5 years or what, you know, a long time, that's great, right? Hey, we got a long-term vision. And you would also think that he would be, and I'm not saying he's not, but you would think Gordon would be appreciative, because here's the unspoken part of this, and kind of wrapping up the running back conversation, I think. Here's the unspoken part, which is, if you have someone under contract, what happens if you decide to carry them and burn them out? Because let's be candid, you don't wash a rental car. How many people out there wash a rental car?
Who the hell does that?
Right. Now, if you know this is the last year, Le'Veon Bell, I think, to some degree, there was some wisdom. And again, I'm a Steelers fan. But if you know they're not going to re-sign you, the most dangerous year you're going to have is that last year. Because what's going to be natural for that team to do? Right? Run them into the ground.
Yep.
And to me, having a disgruntled running back hurts in many ways, but it hurts in the way where if he starts double guessing every or second guessing every time his number's called, wait, we're up by 17. Why am I running the ball? If that gets in his head, forget about it. And the fact that the Chargers didn't run Gordon into the ground, I think, is a sign of a good sign of the franchise trying to be running back friendly. Wouldn't you think, Jonas?
Yeah, I also wonder this. Do you think they were surprised by his move, by his holdout? Because I think it went one of two ways here. either they just didn't expect this at all, which is why they didn't address the running back position in the draft or in this offseason at all, or they expected this was probably going to happen, but they are, to Fez's point, really comfortable with who they've got behind him, whether it be Austin Ekeler or Justin Jackson, who's a guy they took last year that a lot of people are pretty high on.
Or, and this will be our little tease across the news, I think Le'Veon Bell and what happened with him and really all its aspects, the holdouts, the does this count for a year because he plays this many games, and ultimately landing with the Jets, I think that is emboldening the running backs in an amazingly strong way.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Well, there's another group that is missing in action, and it's Giants wide receivers following a torn ACL by Corey Coleman, a broken thumb by Sterling Shepard last week, and of course the departing Odell Beckham in the offseason. Golden Tate recently signed this offseason after Odell Beckham departed and left to the Cleveland Browns. He has been popped for 4 games for violating the PED code or however you want to term it in the NFL. So the Giants a little thin at wide receiver, RJ.
It was funny. I was actually on New York radio when this was announced. And my first thought, it was Saturday, my first thought was, wow, I'm actually more optimistic about the Giants. And it's like, what, huh? It's like, well, think about it. If, and we'll say allegedly if, he was juicing, if he was getting ready to go, I mean, really, in the scheme of things, would you rather have a juiced up Golden Tate for 12 games or a kind of rapidly aging Golden Tate for 16? But now we're hearing, and I'm not sure how this story's evolved, and Jonas, maybe you followed it more closely, that looks like he almost literally could have an excuse. Like, are you half believing his excuse about fertility or whatever?
Probably a little less than half.
All right.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be the worst of both worlds? He's not juiced up, and he misses 4 games.
Right, right.
So let's hope at this point that, if you're a Giants fan, I mean, let's be candid. Fez, break it down. Now, this is the other side of the relative value argument. With Gordon, with the Chargers, hey, got a really good backup running back. He's not as valuable as you might think. Now, cluster injuries. If you played a drinking game, every time we say that during the NFL season, you're going to hear it and drink a lot. It means the first guy you lose is less valuable than the second, than the third, even though that first guy might be better, but it's losing that third guy means, oh, you're good coming off the street now and teaching them the playbook the week of the game. That's a problem. How thin are the Giants?
Yeah, they're this thin. They're starting wide receivers right now, if Sterling Shepard can't go, Cordy Latimer and Russell Shepard, the bad Shepard, not Sterling Shepard. Both of these guys, RJ, less than 200 yards receiving. So even though none of these guys
is
moved
that career,
the needle,
is that career?
Last year with
okay.
The Giants. So none of these starting guys, Shepard, Tate, or Coleman, would have moved the needle at all if only one of the wide receivers was out. But with all three out, the Giants are in big trouble.
Now, here's something I'm going to put in my pocket. Want to get your first thought on quickly, though, is I'm thinking if the number isn't inflated of going over with Barkley's receiving yards in week one, my guess is they're going to scheme up something that no one's expected to see. And week one, it will be for the Giants, especially effective getting Barkley the ball through the air, even more than usual. But then week two, the number will go way up because he had a good week. And now how many tricks can you have? They're going to figure it out and shut him down, or at least relatively. Do you like if there was a normal Barkley number, let's say whatever his average number was in the second half of last season for over receiving yards, would you like that over right now?
I do not like it, RJ, and here's why. Barkley averaged 45 reception yards per game for the year. For whatever reason, his reception yardage fell off a cliff second half of the year. Let me give you the numbers. First 8 games, Barkley, 62 reception yards on average. Last 8 games, only 28 yards. For whatever reason, the Giants stopped throwing to him.
Now, think about that. We did not prep that topic. and Fez comes out with splits, I'm just going to say, you win, baby. Good, good, good stuff, Jonas. Wow.
And also, RJ, you win because you did have a best bet on Eli Manning for the season.
Well, listen, that one I've almost cashed already, so that, in my mind.
Guys, the NFL is back. I mean, it's not the regular season, but the first game of the preseason is on Thursday night. It's the Hall of Fame game, the Broncos and the Falcons.
Fez, yeah, so give us the line move.
Yeah, opening line move, we had Denver initially was +2 against Atlanta. 5-point move, RJ. Currently, the number is Denver, the favorite, -3 versus Atlanta.
Okay, so the game is where?
It's Thursday in Canton.
All right. Oh, so obviously neutral field. And I just, you know, we always want to be as specific as we can because we live this stuff. And quite frankly, the studies show half of our audience straight out of Vegas don't even bet. They just like knowing more than their buddies from the Vegas side. This is a big move. During the NFL season, unless there's injuries, you're never going to, or rarely, if ever, going to see a move this big. What's driving this specific move?
It is Coach Quinn for Atlanta. His propensity to not show up recently in preseason. He's on an 0-8 run, RJ. And last year, Atlanta went 0-4, losing by 17, 14, 11, and 27 points.
Now, the question would be, well, wait a minute. The bookmaker should have known that when the line opened. It's not like it was revealed. We didn't know that. So is this just another example? And again, the bookies, cockroaches, and not all that smart, let's just be honest, is the bookies just didn't do the work, and they figure the first couple guys that betted, if we're wrong, it won't cost us that much because the limits aren't that high. Is it that simple?
It is that simple.
Guys, this is where it's just an unequivocal fact. If you're serious about winning, now with anything, working out, education, a marriage, whatever, if you're serious about something, it takes work. It takes sacrifice. Now, the trick is, how do you get the most yield without having to sacrifice too much? One of the places that you could bet and be so much more profitable is if you bet early. Meaning Sunday night for next week's games, overnight in basketball. If all you did was bet early, you would benefit so much. And it does all the only work it really would take is to do your work earlier. So early is good. This was an example. Obviously, later in the week, we'll talk about how to bet the game at the current number.